Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
The Fredericksburg Civil Rights Trail, our focus this morning. Victoria Matthews with the city is in to talk about it. Victoria, it is great to have you in. This is one of my favorite shows when we talk about this, because you and Chris Williams and others have really helped put this together, and it is a great thing to tell the community about.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us back again for the Fredericksburg Civil Rights Trail. This is a passion project of mine. It's probably one of the best things I've ever done in my career over my life. And I just... It's just a spectacular piece to give a voice to those stories that people don't know about in the city of Fredericksburg related to civil rights story here.
I remember years ago when the vice mayor was talking to me, and several people had mentioned about the bus station in downtown Fredericksburg and the whole story with the Freedom Riders there. And where it was located, and I had never heard that. And then as you started looking at some of these things, there were a lot of stories that some communities knew about or people knew about, but overall, and that's what's so great about this, you have filled in so many gaps.
Well, Chris Williams really deserves the credit for realizing that the Freedom Riders' first stop was in the city of Fredericksburg. He read a book by Raymond Arsenault, who wrote a book about the Freedom Riders, and he talks about the first stop out of Washington, D.C. being Fredericksburg. When he realized that, we all kind of went, wow. And so that started the state marker project, to put a state marker there. So the bus station would have been the Trailways Greyhound bus station, and that's where the current Fredericksburg Fire Department building sits on Princess Anne in the 600 block of Princess Anne. So that's where that bus station would have been. And the trail has a really great image of the front of the bus station and a really great image that was taken inside of the bus station. And through the windows of the bus station, you can actually see the Hotel Rappahannock and the Hotel McGuire, which were both the Black-owned hotels that were part of the Green Book.
Yeah, and the Green Book... What a great story that is. And there was a movie a few years. There was another story that I had never heard. And a movie came out. And when I saw that, I was just fascinated by that. And then to hear that the Green Book was part of Fredericksburg.
It was incredible. And there are actually one or two other places listed in the Green Book that we haven't been able to identify yet, because the addresses have changed or buildings have changed. What's interesting is that the Green Book was sold by Esso gas stations, and there was an Esso gas station at the end of Princess Anne Street near the train station off to the right. There's been some pictures circulating on Facebook about the Princess Anne, and you can clearly see the Esso sign there. So that's where the Black community would have been able to get gas, use the restroom, and also purchase the guide to understand where they could travel and travel safely.
That's the other great thing about the Civil Rights Trail. Not only just all the spots you can learn, some of the pictures of downtown, and like you mentioned, these hotels or gas stations that once were there, fascinating to look at.
And the pictures have been the interesting part of this, because they have been very, very difficult to find. And of course, they're not the high resolution, pretty pictures that people require when you're doing publications or putting things online. So we've done what we could do with what we could find. A very interesting story is that this about 2 weeks ago, we received a call from descendants of Henry Dean. The reason they reached out is because they were looking for a picture of Henry Dean. They have a picture of his wife, Lucy, and they wanted to know if we had a picture of Henry.
Yeah.
So that started kind of a scavenger hunt to figure out if we could find one for the family, because they wanted it for a special occasion. They had come to Fredericksburg. They had realized that they were descendant from Henry Dean. They came to Fredericksburg. They came into the visitor center. They found the Civil Rights Trail booklet, picked it up, and then reached out to Chris through LinkedIn. And so we connected back up with the family, and invited them to Fredericksburg, where we were able to kind of look and see if we could find a picture for them. We ended up going into the Heritage Center, which is a really interesting site here in Fredericksburg for family histories, court documents, pictures, things like that. They actually found 6 or 7 pages about Lucy Dean. And so now we have even more information about her, which we will include when we do our next update. We have not found a picture of Henry Dean. So if anybody in the community has a picture of Henry Dean, and if you don't know who he was, Henry Dean was the valet to Nathan Bedford Forrest, who was in the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
After the Civil War, he came to the city of Fredericksburg and he started working at a livery up by Liberty Town, where Liberty Town is today. And then he earned enough money to be able to buy the livery and build homes in that community for the Black community. Some of those homes still exist. They're still standing. They're a little hard to tell because they've had some additions and some changes over the years.
Yeah.
But he died in 1908. Lucy Dean was his wife. And so it's really a great story about entrepreneurship and, you know, succeeding after going through something pretty horrific. So it's a really amazing story. And these were his descendants that came to see us.
Isn't that amazing, though, that they came in? I mean, those are the kinds of stories you hear from the Park Service all the time about people will come in with an artifact or a story or a diary. But because of the trail, and I would think these kinds of stories are going to continue.
They will. And the family has said that they will come back and they want to investigate some more. I'm on the hunt for the picture if I can find it. But they provided us with the picture of Lucy. And so Lucy will be included.
Yeah.
We're going to add that to the trail. So she'll be included. Everybody will get to see what she looked like.
Boy, and to be able to talk to family members and to find out kind of their story or get pictures. And it just makes every one of these stories or every one of these locations come more alive.
And they didn't realize that they were connected to him until fairly recently. So again, you think that history doesn't change much or that stories get lost, and they do, but then you find things...
A piece here and there.
It's very similar to the John Washington story. Mm-hmm. His story, we didn't even know about until 2007, 2008, when somebody found it in archives.
Yeah.
What else is buried in the archives?
I was just going to say, there's just more to and you talked to it when we started just about how this, you know, what you've done in your career, this is just such a highlight, and it's never going to end because of these puzzle pieces that are scattered around.
I think things will still continue to come up and percolate up, and we'll see things. I'm really excited just to keep adding to the trail. If we find new information or new photos, the state of Virginia is very interested in the trail. We're working with them on a podcast that will be out the end of July with the state of Virginia. So it's just really interesting to kind of see where this is all going.
Oh, it really is exciting. And I can remember the first time you and Chris came in and talked about just the start of this and how the late night phone calls and how it is just grown. It's fascinating to see. And we'll talk about the booklet and all kinds of things as we go along this morning. But well done. And it continues. It really continues. And all of us are the better for it.
I think it's really important to keep these stories forward. Make the public aware this is history that happened here in Fredericksburg that we need to talk about. There are really interesting stories like Henry Dean's, and there are some very awful stories Paul Key and Charles Blanchford and other things. The sit-in movement was an incredible story with Gay Agbegbolola and Jereen Mercer McConnell. Their stories to be brave as teenagers,
yeah,
to stand up and protest the sit-ins here in the city.
For the Fredericksburg Civil Rights Trail, best way to get information and to get the booklet and everything is just go into the Visitor Center.
Absolutely. The book is at the Visitor Center. There is also a QR code, so folks can go in, they can scan the QR code, and that will take them on the journey with their phone, and it's a map that kind of walks with you as you scroll through. Everything has audio to it, so if you want to listen to the story, Chris narrated the entire story, but then all the oral histories are typed out, and also you can hear them hear the very person speak. It's their voice. It's their story.
It's just terrific. The Fredericksburg Civil Rights Trail this morning. Victoria Matthews here from the city. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Victoria Matthews in this morning from the city of Fredericksburg and the Fredericksburg Civil Rights Trail. It is 21 stops, couple of parts. There's the downtown walk. And then there's the university and then some driving. Isn't that right?
There is. So, yeah, it's 21 stops total. Part one kind of keeps you in the historic district, walking around. That's walkable. We did add a couple of additional sites to include Walker Grant School, the Bass Ellison Building, and then the National Cemetery. The National Cemetery has the grave of Urbain Bass, who was a World War I doctor. He was killed in France, and he was interred at that cemetery. So if you walk into the National Cemetery, kind of towards the hill and go to the left, in the first row all the way at the end is Henry Dean, and he's buried next to his wife. You can see a stained glass window that depicts Henry Dean at Shiloh Baptist Church new site. It's a really incredible stained glass window that they put in after he died here in Fredericksburg. So there are those three sites, and then part two is the UMW part of the trail. So that's where you get on campus, and that's where you're going to learn about James Farmer, who was a professor at Mary Washington College for 13 years. And before that, he was one of the big four of the civil rights movement. Yeah. He was the one who orchestrated the Freedom Rides. And worked on things like that with CORE, the Congress on Racial Equity. So that's really interesting. And then also with the part two trail, you visit the Dorothy Hart Community Center, which was not the name of that community center for the Walker Grant protest. The Walker Grant protest happened. It was a community center in the 1950s. The name changed later on. But that is the site where we talk about Walker Grant and the graduation. They had 27 students that were graduating from Walker Grant, which was the black high school. They didn't have enough room on their campus to be able to host all of those kids and their parents to be able to host it in the building. So they asked the city if they could use the community center, of which the city of Fredericksburg said no, simply because they were black. And so what ended up happening is they said, well, our parents pay taxes. We should be allowed to use this building.
Yeah.
And the city said, yep, you're right, but you can't use the front door. And so the students decided that wasn't good enough, and rightly so. And they, on June 7th, 1950, actually protested the city of Fredericksburg. And what I find so interesting about that is this is June 7th, 1950. So that predates Emmett Till, that predates Selma, that predates the Montgomery bus boycott.
Isn't that interesting?
So they held a protest at 17 and 18 years old in a city in the South. Police were present that day, but there was no interaction. There was no violence. Nothing happened. They peacefully marched from the community center down to Shiloh Baptist Church, Old Site, and held their graduation at Old Site. What is so interesting about that story is this year is the 75th anniversary of the protest of Walker Grant. So look for an event happening in June to commemorate that. Shiloh Baptist Church, Old Site, is organizing a walk again. So you can walk from the community center down to Shiloh Baptist Church, Old Site, on that Saturday in June with them to commemorate that event.
They did that a couple of years ago, and I walked along with them, and there is something about doing that.
Yes.
That really gets you. It was an event, and I thought this will be interesting. So I went along, and it does. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you're walking, and you're thinking about what they must have been thinking. And like you say, just the danger involved.
Absolutely. And in the Civil Rights Trail that we have, at the Walker Grant site, there is a history panel that's outside of the community center, and there's a QR code there. And if you scan that and hit play, you can hear Grace Sproul talk about the day that that protest happened. And that was an oral history that was taken by Shiloh Baptist Church Old Site. So we have that attached to that sign so you can hear her. We unfortunately lost her a couple years ago, but we still have her voice, and that's what's important. So
that's so important.
It is
to be able to have that, and I know you've been able to gather some of those stories, because just to hear it from the person, and especially now since we have the technology to do that kind of thing.
And we're working with the university to get those oral histories that we have collected into archives over at the university.
Yeah.
I'm of the opinion that I think that's where those belong.
Yeah.
Certainly not in my office.
Right.
In tourism, but in a place that will be able, people will be able to go in and listen to them and hear what they have to say, because if you have their voices, then you don't lose their stories.
Right. And just the inflection of their voice at different things. And boy, what you said about how it predated all the things. So they wasn't like they got this idea from looking at other things. That was talk about something that's an organic kind of thing. They saw an injustice and said, we're going to do something before everybody else had really done that.
And I would think have feeling of how dangerous that might have felt. To do that, to protest in that way.
I think as a parent, what you would say, I think I would say, I'm with you and agree with you, but do you really want to do that?
Right. But I remember at 17 and 18 being more kind of, I'm going to change the world, right? You remember that?
Yep.
So that's, I imagine that kind of the feeling that they would have held on to. But it would have been just to see them in their cap and gowns, with their signs in front of that building, just the bravery. It's the bravery for me.
One of the first, when the panels and the signs went in front of the Dorothy Hart Community Center a few years ago, that was one of the first that I can remember things that went up that talked about that we'll talk about that march and everything. And that was an impactful program. The people standing up and in talking about that.
We ended up doing a program to unveil that sign. We actually closed down the street in front of the community center.
It was a cold winter morning.
It was February, but we got lucky because it was 60 degrees.
Yeah.
So that was great. But we did it outside. We were still kind of on the tail end of kind of COVID things. And so we wanted to keep the public safe.
Yeah.
So we had Latifa Muhammad MC that event. And she is Grace Sproul's daughter. And so that felt really poignant to make sure that connection was there. And we ended up working with the Mayfield Civic Association and other organizations to make sure that folks were invited. Xavier Richardson had done some great work in reaching out to that community as well, and the community of Mayfield. And so we really just were trying to pull everything together. And what was so interesting, Dr. Catlett, the superintendent of city schools, came dressed in her graduation regalia that she would normally wear.
That's right.
And she came in and she verbally, and this is the thing about the trail, is to the names, remember the names. And she went through all graduating, the whole graduating class of 27 students and named them, and then identified somebody who was in the, who was there at the event, who was connected to that person. And so was it, say the name, and then the great grandson was sitting there. And a lot of them didn't know. They didn't know the story, because this has happened in Fredericksburg. And so when you're treated badly, you tend not to talk about it.
Sure.
Or if you go through a trauma, you tend not to talk about it. So a lot of the families didn't even know that this had happened. And so I think that was really interesting as well. It was a really, really great program with the city acknowledging that this was something that they shouldn't have done on June 7th, 1950.
Right.
And that the sign is there, and so people can learn about these students and the story.
And I'm sure this whole trail, Victoria, is for the communities and the people and the families who were wronged. There's got to be some healing in the fact that there's now the stories are being told, and the city has been so upfront of saying, we endorse this, and we apologize for what was done in the past.
We We presented this to City Council. I remember this pretty vividly in October and or November, where we wanted to show City Council kind of what we were doing and really to say this is the project. And so by doing that, we explained kind of how this was going to work and the online version and things like that. But I wanted to them to understand even more deeply what we were doing. And so for that, we actually read them Robert Christian's oral history, which is probably one of the most profound that we have, because Robert Christian never told this story, never talked about it with anybody. We didn't even know who he was. We were able to find him through that picture that we had of him standing in front of Maury School that he desegregated all by himself at 12 years old.
Yeah.
And his story is just incredible. And so we read that story to City Council, and all of them just were, their breath was taken away. They just were, and they were 110% behind us. And they said, this is incredible. You need to keep doing this work. And so we really wanted to make sure that they understood what we were really, really trying to do. And we weren't changing language of the oral histories. They were as they were, intact in their entirety, with permission from those oral history participants.
Yeah. And that was a freelance star picture, wasn't it?
It was.
And it's look it up. It's just really a fascinating picture, and one of the great civil rights pictures. It just shows you what it was like.
It really does. And the freelance star, we actually needed to find a kind of a cleaner image because it had some kind of problems with the image. And so we actually reached out to the freelance star and said, do you have the original? And they said, we don't, but we took this image and we've cleaned it up for you. And I was really appreciative to the freelance star for doing that for us, so that we could use the picture and that it was just much cleaner, clearer image. So they were able to make those adjustments for us.
The Fredericksburg Civil Rights Trail, our focus with Victoria Matthews this morning. We're going to take a quick break and continue on this discussion. Good stuff on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is almost 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a centennial broadcasting station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Victoria Matthews in this morning from the Fredericksburg Civil Rights Trail. That is, and again, got any questions about the Civil Rights Trail, if you Google it, you'll find this. You can print out, and I printed out the Fredericksburg Civil Rights Trail, although I think now I'm going to go down and get the brochure down at the Visitor Center. And people at the Visitor Center know, they will point you in the right direction of how to really get involved and get the most out of this.
They will show you where the booklet is. There's a rack card with the QR code that you can grab. There's also the new African American history brochure that we have that we worked on with Dr. Gayla Sims, and that one's called Interwoven. And so that covers a little bit more of African American history that predates 1865. So there's also that brand new brochure as well.
You mentioned earlier about Gay Adegbola, yes, and her story and she and just the teenagers, the stories about the protests around here, and again, the pictures to me are just so powerful because you see what Fredericksburg was like in the 50s and 60s, and it's downtown was much different.
It really was, and I think the pictures are worth. Just they're so valuable to see the images that they show of what happened that day, those days. And that was in the summer that the protests and the sit-ins happened here in Fredericksburg. And it was really wrapped up by the end of the summer. Many of the shops had converted and said, well, right, we're not going to keep these counters segregated anymore. And so they went ahead and desegregated those counters. So it was really over kind of the summer months that all of that happened. in the 1960s to desegregate the counters.
We always heard, and we always hear, and it's true about, you know, that so many things happened, and there wasn't the violence that some other cities had, and we hear the stories and have heard the stories from, you know, Johnny Johnson and Mayor Davies and others who told those stories. But like you say, it's so interesting that other things that did happen were they happened and no one wanted to talk about them, and that I think is sort of how this is all this. The momentum just seemed to build once a few of these stories came and you started kind of collating and taking a look at this and saying, we've got something here.
That's absolutely correct. When we started this, we had one sign downtown that talked about the sit-ins.
Yeah.
And nothing else. And so we had to approach this project very differently. Normally you start with the sites, you investigate the sites and the connections to the people. In this case, we actually did that in the completely opposite way. We needed to find out what sites were important, what the stories were, so we had to talk to people first. And I think that's really important because you want their names and their stories, because that's what's important. And then we were able to identify the sites. And I think with regards to thinking about how Fredericksburg really, there wasn't violence here, as you saw in other places like Birmingham. And I attribute that a lot to the local church leaders at the time. Mm-hmm. They really kind of kept things calm. And yes, let's protest, nonviolent, let's do that. And they were able, but there was never in our research any kind of episode like Birmingham or anything like that. So I really attribute that to the local church leaders at the time.
Well, and then the another great moment in the whole civil rights trail putting together when you did the announcement was, I guess, what, a year ago in February, mm-hmm. Which was a huge announcement, but that the you know, nationally this was going to be part of this was going to be advertised and become part of a national trail. That showed you that this is a legit thing.
And that's what really started this project, is because I was at a trade show and the state of Alabama introduced the United States Civil Rights Trail. And I thought, wow, that is really, really interesting. And then it made me ask, what is Fredericksburg's story about civil rights? And so that's kind of how it started. And so we did a lot of work. I was attending trade shows for what I do for the city. So we did a lot of work to kind of connect with the folks who were tied to the Civil Rights Trail. And so we had to apply to be on the trail. And we needed to point to a site that was of importance from a national perspective, kind of that tied in with the national story as well. So we actually picked the Freedom Riders story, and Fredericksburg being the first stop of the Freedom Rides, because that was a mm-hmm. national story. But when I sent in the application, I included everything else that we had done on the United States Civil Rights Trail. And I had spent a lot of time kind of doing back of the house work, as you might call it, to talk to the folks in Birmingham, to talk to the folks from the state of Alabama, to understand kind of what do we needed to do, what would be important.
Yeah.
And they're the ones who eventually made the decision to include the entire trail, which I'm absolutely delighted about. The United States Civil Rights Trail has released the 2025 travel planner for the country, for civil rights. Fredericksburg is in that book probably about six different times, and we are delighted, including
wow.
a two-page spread that shows Foodie and the John Washington state marker that is there. That is the picture that they used to start the article about all the new sites across the country that were added to the United States Civil Rights Trail. So we are the front picture for what follows in Tennessee, Alabama, and other places around the country. And I'm just over the moon about it. I'm super excited. We also put a small ad in there as well. And part of that ad, the top is Dr. Farmer, and then the bottom of the ad is Johnny Johnson's mural. And
wow.
In the mural, it's his mural that's on Sophia Street, but it's his granddaughter in the picture. And I took that picture of her after she signed Johnny Loves FXBG. And I took that picture, and so that's what we've put in the guide. So Johnny Johnson is represented in the United States Civil Rights Trail planner, 2025 planner this year. So I'm really excited.
That is
the I shared that with the family, and they were very happy to see that as well. So it was, it's incredible.
It just shows that what we have here is really something. And take some time. You don't have to do this. This is something you have to do in a couple of hours. Take your time on it.
Absolutely. And the other thing that with the United States Civil Rights Trail is, because of the work that we are doing, we are the fourth site in Virginia to be added to the United States Civil Rights Trail. And so we were invited by the state of Virginia, Virginia Tourism Corporation, which is the marketing arm for the state of Virginia, on a FAM tour that the U.S. Civil Rights Trail folks put on. And it was really incredible because we got to go to Montgomery and Selma. And this was all organized by Alabama Tourism and the United States Civil Rights Trail Marketing Alliance. And we went because to see how Montgomery and Selma are sharing their civil rights story. This is all very hard, right? Some of these stories are just tremendously awful.
Yeah.
And just to be sure that you share these stories in a way that offers dignity and respect to the individuals who participated and who are part of the story. They actually closed the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma for us. They closed one side of the bridge for it.
So you walked the bridge?
So they let us walk the bridge. There was a gentleman, an African-American gentleman, who was at the head of our group wearing the long coat that you would have seen in that time period with the sign on the post that says, "I am man."
Yeah.
And he led our group across the bridge. And so we were able to do that. We were able to hear an oral history from somebody who was 13 years old and was part of the Selma Bridge, all of that Bloody Sunday, and her stories about that. We got to see the bus stop where Rosa Parks boarded the bus before the Montgomery bus boycott, the Holt Street Baptist Church, where people gathered to hear Martin Luther King speak about the support of the boycott. And then we also went to the Legacy Museum and Freedom Monument Sculpture Park. That focuses on transatlantic slave, separation of families, lynching, voter registration, and mass incarceration. The Legacy Museum is probably is as intense as the Holocaust Museum. From the way that they display things and the stories that they tell.
Yeah.
I would highly recommend that if folks are able to go visit the Legacy Museum, that they go do that. You walk into the museum and you come into the room and there are a sea of people on each side of you, but they look like they're buried into the sand almost up to their chins. And it's men, women, and children, and very clearly they're enslaved. Some of them have metal rings around their necks, but the faces, the anguish on their faces, you just takes your breath away. And so the lighting and the way they did that is, I can't describe, incredible is the wrong word, but just the way that is portrayed is just, it touches you deeply. And then you walk into where they start talking about the transatlantic slave trade. You know, Fredericksburg was represented in this museum. 13,372 enslaved people were brought into Fredericksburg from 1699 to 1773. 13,000. So
wow.
We are marked in there as an import for the slave trade. And so you walk up to the slave pens and they have holograms that when you step up to the slave pen, the hologram comes on and that the hologram starts talking to you. And it will say, you know, "Have you seen my children? What's happening? Do you have any food?" Just all these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And there are five of them. And when you reach the fifth one at the end, it's two children that are in that. "Have you seen our mama?"
Mm.
And then the next step after that, they start talking about lynchings. And what they have done is they have researched to find out where many of the lynchings happened in the United States. And so they have a huge wall big giant jars with dirt in them, and the dirt is all different colors because the dirt comes from the site of where individuals were lynched. So they have gone and collected the dirt from the actual site. They put the name of the person who was lynched, the date,
yeah,
and where, and then the dirt in the jar is from the actual site. And there's a two walls covered with these giant jars that show this. And so that's really telling. And then you get into voter registration and how they and how things were written. So there was no way that they could pass the test in order to be able to vote. And it was things that even your normal person wouldn't be able to figure out. And then it ends with the mass incarceration and talks about the prison pipeline and things like that. And you hear the stories from the inmates and things like that. And it's, and in addition to that, there it's three sites. And the second site has the it's a site that, again, talks about the lynching and shows there's a metallic beam hanging from the ceiling, and each one is marked again with the name of somebody who was lynched. And the final site is the Freedom Monument Sculpture Park. And you walk through that, and just, again, replicas of enslaved cabins and art and things as you walk through that. So very, 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 very powerful, powerful site that it will just take your breath away.
That's the Legacy Museum, and where's that again?
That's in Montgomery, Alabama.
Montgomery, I wasn't sure. So
yeah, so wow. we got to visit those sites, and see those sites and see some of the churches that Martin Luther King spoke at. It was really, really, really just. I can't find the right words.
I was going to say powerful.
Powerful.
As you've described it, is just wow.
Yeah, and it affects. It just affects people so deeply. Very similar to the way the Holocaust Museum affects people.
Yeah. No. I years ago when I first read the John Washington book, you got just a. And as you described, I mean, you just get a whole different view of slavery, the personal part of it, of the being separated, and how awful it was.
Yeah, absolutely. And then one of the other highlights from that trip, aside from the whole trip, was incredible. But we also actually got to meet Fred Gray, who was Rosa Parks' lawyer. Mm. He came to our dinner that evening and spoke to us. He's about 94 years old. Just fantastic. Fantastic individual, just was able to just shared some stories with us about Rosa Parks, and it was just an incredible opportunity to be able to meet him in person.
Mm. You mentioned lynchings. Jim Hall locally has written some books on lynching in Virginia, that it's just the horrific, how horrific obviously it was. But boy, for you to describe all of this, that would be something that.
And we did look into it because we were wondering if there were any lynchings that happened in the city of Fredericksburg. And we talk about two stories in the trail. There's the Fredericksburg Jail is one of the stops on the trail.
Yeah.
We talk about Paul Key, and we talk about Charles Blanford. Paul Key was in Fredericksburg in 1889. He was arrested for assaulting a six-year-old white girl.
Yeah.
He was... At that time, the city of Fredericksburg was not hanging people here. They were sent down to Richmond and hung in Richmond. But the city ended up putting him through the court process and finding him guilty. We're not convinced that he was. We have the transcripts from the courthouse of his conversation with the judge. We did not include those in the trail, but we do. But those are in archives at the courthouse. There are transcripts that the clerk of court wrote down what Paul Key said to the judge, and he said, "I didn't commit this crime. I didn't do this." And he was hung in the city of Fredericksburg. And so that we'd really like to. And I'm not sure how much more we can investigate it because it is from 1889, but we just feel like it perhaps, you know, was not justified. And the other story that we talk about is Charles Blanchford, and he was in the jail in 1908, I believe, and he was arrested. We do not know why, but there was a mob that gathered in an alley, a 40-people mob that gathered in the alley where the jail was that was trying to get him out of the jail so that they could lynch him, and the police realized what was happening. And at that time, the police didn't say on site. They were at their homes, but they knew—Fredericksburg, of course, was much smaller then, so they knew what was happening, and they came and they stopped it. We don't know what happened to Charles Blanchford. There's no record of him, of what he was arrested for, convicted of, what happened to him. We have no idea, but we do know that a lynch mob was after him. And those are the two stories that we were able to find. John Hennessy, who was with the National Park Service, was the one who kind of pinpointed those for us. But those are the two that we have found in the city limits of Fredericksburg.
It is the Fredericksburg Civil Rights Trail. It is worth, we have just scratched the surface. and we could sit and talk for hours about all of these places. It really is worth your time to spend the summer just going around and looking at all of these. Victoria Matthews here from the city. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Victoria Matthews from the city in this morning, the Fredericksburg Civil Rights Trail. In downtown Fredericksburg and at UMW and around the area. There's also a civil rights trail now in Stafford. And so a lot of these stories are being told, Victoria. I guess the amazing thing, and as you've described this and talked about, just, wow, the things you've talked about, this is just a small part of your job. If you, from talking to you, it would be like, well, this is what Victoria does all day, every day. And you do a lot of it, but you do have other responsibilities. But thank you for making this more than just, well, this was my project a couple of years ago.
Well, and the project is going to continue. We have added, the University of Mary Washington has put in 5 wayside panels on campus that are tied to the Fredericksburg Civil Rights Trail. They're James Farmer Multicultural Center, Campus Desegregation, the Big 5, which is stories about Christina Hall Worthams, Anita Whitehead, Scott Claudeth Dottie Holmes, Venus Jones, and Aretha Whitehead. There's another one about campus activism and another one about breaking barriers. And then in addition to that were the ones that Dr. Gayla Sims and her committee put into the ground, the one in Mayfield for Dr. W.L. Harris, the Johnny P. Johnson Wayside Panel. There's a Walker Grant School Panel, Decoration Day. And then there's actually one about the Manahonic Indigenous tribe as well. So we're going to be adding those to the Civil Rights Trail. We've also got about 3 other oral histories that Dr. Henry at the university is having her students review. And so we'll be adding those to the trail as well. We need to update the trail with the fact that the visitor center has moved to 601 Caroline Street. So we're working on all of that. We have purchased a new app for the City of Fredericksburg Tourism Office. It's called Visit Widget. We are going to release that pretty soon, but the Civil Rights Trail will be on that as well.
Okay.
We're also working on a podcast with Virginia Tourism Corporation and working on a project with the National Park Service, something that we'll release a little bit later on. In fact, I've got a site visit this afternoon. And it's regarding enslaved dwellings around the city and in Stafford and so forth.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's interesting because we had done this, we released it, we put it out to the public, but it really has generated kind of a life of its own. And these things that keep percolating up, you know, the phone call from Henry Dean's descendants,
yeah.
We're just amazed about all the different kind of things that have percolated up. And so I expect that to continue. And so I'm, you know, committed to continuing the work on it, along with doing what the city actually hired me to do, which is group sales. So I represent the city for meetings, trade shows, sports tourism, motor coaches, all of that. So if folks want to come to the city and do something here and they want to work with the local tourism office, then that's me as well. So we need to make sure we get these visitors in so that they have something to see and visit and go to a baseball game. And,
all of that,
you know,
it's a great place to come, and we're lucky to have this trail. The stories are it's just, thank you,
my
thank
pleasure.
You for you and Chris and others who have just really poured yourselves into this and just made it happen. And it, like you said, it just keeps growing and growing. And check it out. I mean, there's so many of these places. I thought, well, we'll talk about some of these specific places, and we'll do that. We can do that other times, and even go around and do some videos together.
Absolutely.
Boy, It all needs to be told. Thank you, Victoria Matthews.
Thank you so much for having me today. I appreciate it so very much.
And we will do this again real soon. It's been too long. Victoria Matthews with the city. Again, the Fredericksburg Civil Rights Trail, the pamphlet, the booklet itself, check it out at the Visitor Center. Go online. You can see it there, too. Out of time. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.